Father, we thank you so, so very much for the privilege of being in this place this morning with each other. I thank you for the friendship, the partnership, the camaraderie that we find here amongst each other. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, not only in the world, but right here in Lincoln. Lord, we thank you that we have been brought through such a time that we look at our very foundations, and we know that in your word you specifically tell us that we don't need to go back and set those foundations. But Lord, we have the great opportunity to remodel. We have the great opportunity to recapture vision from you, and we have. And so Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to work us together every time we get together, whether it's just a couple of us or whether it's the whole corporate group of us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bring that harmony that we need with each other, and that compassion and that support that we need, Father. I just pray that today, that even as you have spoken already through your people, I pray that you would, Lord, give them confidence that you have given me the message that's supposed to be brought this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that we might get what you're trying to say to us. Lord, I've been given a preview, and so, Lord, I pray that even I might understand what I haven't understood during preparation for this. And, Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts, continue to lead us, because we need your leadership. We promise you, Lord, that what we're doing right now is just calling for you just to allow us to walk behind you step by step. Father, we know that's what your will is. We know that you came up with that, not us. And so, Father, we want to do that. We want to surrender ourselves to you. And so, Lord, I pray that whether we've been here for 20 years or we're just arriving, I pray that you would help us to submit ourselves to you and to show you that we're serious about understanding that you're doing something brand new. We love you. We thank you for all that you are to us, and we pray that you'll go with us now in your word, and that you will direct us in your word that we might see what you're doing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. If you would go ahead and sit down, and I'm really excited about what the Lord and I have been dealing with for a little while, and I was just waiting for the right time for this particular really spin or idea on something that Jesus does. For those of you that might be here visiting, or you hadn't been here for a while, a part of our vision for the next 5 years is these next weeks and months. We have understood them from God to be a time that we are to be awoken. We're to be woke up to what he's doing. And we're glad about that, because it's one of those things that we have been put in such a situation that we are kind of knocked back on our feet, and we are not sure exactly where the church goes from here. As a matter of fact, you can get into whatever group you want to, and people have these ideas of where is the church in the world going? I mean, what is happening in the world? And it's been obvious, especially in the news lately. I have been both depressed and encouraged by listening to the news. Depressed because of what they're talking about. Encouraged because we're noticing that it's something that we need to notice, and that is that we have taken a shot. We have seen over the past couple of years what kind of toll that the last couple of years has taken on us emotionally and mentally, and I don't think we even know yet what the emotional and mental increase, the help that we need, the encouragement that we need, the positivity that we need. I know that our bell curve for positivity and encouragement has flattened. And that's the world. That's not just this church. That's not just Christianity. That's the world. And we have to look at this and understand that's where we as a church must work together to lift one another up, and to keep things positive, and to keep things encouraging. Nothing fake, nothing forced. We just have to recognize the time that we're in and understand that we're in it for a while. This is not some funk that we're in that, you know, after a few weeks we're just going to shake it off and it's going to be all over with. This is something that we have come to learn to live with. And I believe that God knew that. I don't believe that. I know that God knew what was going on. And he's not only reshaping the church, he's reshaping us that are the church. God is doing something that has never been seen in this world. Can I just say that again? Because it puts us in a position where we have to admit that we don't know exactly everything that we are doing right now. We have never walked this particular part of the road yet. God is doing something never before seen in this world. And it is wise for us not to practice our normal tendencies. That's not meant as a slam. That's just meant as we react to what is happening. The only way that we lift the team up is that we rise above the fray and we support every single person that's in here. We don't let anybody go by. We don't let anybody slip through the grid. We don't let anybody slip through our understanding, and we support everybody. Today, that might sound like a tough title, but we're actually looking at an almost comedic lesson that Jesus himself gives involving two characters. I want you to flip that to my cartoon there, Stephen, and let's raise this thing up to where we can understand what we're looking at today. Yep, we're looking at that story that Jesus told. Jesus, this is his imagery. Out of all the imagery that he could use, he used a guy with a speck and a guy with a log. And we're looking at this, and it really, I don't know if you see Jesus's funny side or you see Jesus's laughing side. The greatest picture that I've ever seen of Jesus, and I own it, is a picture of Jesus with his head knocked back, and he's laughing. I mean, one of those gut laughs, and he's laughing. He is the one that told the people what this imagery really meant. And I think most of us have heard this before. Most of us know what it means. Most of us have heard some preacher just get down on it and lecture us about, get that beam out your eye, and don't you be walking around with the beam in your eye, and don't be walking up to somebody because they'll think you're an idiot when you're walking up with the beam in your eye. I think we know that part. And so I got to looking at this, and I was like, you know what? Jesus told this story, and sure, we can look at the main character, and we can learn all that there is to learn about him, but I'm more interested today in the secondary character. And so as we look at this, can we just say this morning that we're the speck guy? Everybody in here, I just want you to get your mind off of the beam guy, and we're going to talk about him a little bit. But we're the speck guy. We're the guy with the speck in his eye. And the speck in his eye guy really doesn't get a lot of coverage from most pastors. And so I'm not saying I'm super cool that I want to deal with the speck guy. It's just something I think we need to deal with at this time in our life. At this time in the life of the church, in the life of our church, I think it's important for us to look and see what was it that Jesus was trying to get us to see with the speck guy. Because our reactions really mean a lot. I remember the first church that we pastored, Lisa and I. I was 29. It's the first church we pastored. We were in youth ministry for a while, but the first church we pastored was a very rural church. That's where I got the thing the other day about the farmers that wore their overalls, that they were the millionaires, because we were in rural country. And if you really wanted to know the richest people in our community, it was the guys that didn't have the nice Italian suit. It was the guy that had the nice, they would call them dungarees. They had overalls. And there was one particular guy that it was just, I loved him to death. He was basically the patriarch of the church. He must have been in his 80s at the time. And he reminded me of my paternal grandfather because he was just funny. He always was laughing. He got something out of life. He was not educated. As a matter of fact, he didn't speak good English as far as knowing what verbs to use. Every person he ever came into contact with, though, he would ask a question. He would ask the questions, are you saved or are you lost? But he most of the time would say, is you saved or is you lost? And it was one of those things that you kind of, sometimes you kind of, it was kind of embarrassing to be around Mr. Beebe, because it was like, dude, he's going to come up to anybody. I mean, you know, the garbage man, anybody. He's going to call you out and say, look, is you saved or is you lost? But I remember one time we were having a dinner, and there were other farmers in the church. And I don't know if he and Mr. J.C. were like competitors with their farm. But one day we were kind of leaned back and we were having our dessert, which was probably like a lemon meringue pie. That's why I love pavlova so much here. But he called me over and we were just sitting there, and I always look for a laugh from him. And he said this. He said, "I pray to the good Lord that I never get as miserable as JC, because I have known him for 50 years and I have never one time seen him laugh." I was like, Mr. Beebe, that's you're sure you've never seen him laugh? Nope, never seen him laugh. Well, I've kept that really kind of under hat, and I really have met people from really all corners of the world that are like JC. Some of them approachable, some of them appreciate a friend, some of them not so very much. And it has put me to understand, look, it's sort of a circle. I don't know if people become cynical because they're miserable or if they become miserable because they're cynical. But I want to find out this morning. And I want us to look and see what we might find out in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And we were going to try to find what's wrong with this picture. What's wrong with the picture, with the guy with the log in his eye and the guy with the speck in his eye. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 6 says this: "Do not judge so that you won't be judged. For with the judgment you use, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye?" That's key there. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? The answer is not as obvious as what it seems here. Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, there is a log in your eye"? Again, the answer is not just as apparent as what we might think it is. And then there's a word that's used that I'll just be honest with you. I looked, because you know I usually use the Holman Christian Standard Version. I looked for another version because I didn't want hypocrite to be this word used, because that's a strong word. And I want to tell you, as somebody that has pastored for a long time, I did what I usually do. I got the lexicon and I was like, okay, what is another word that could have been used here? Because every version uses the word hypocrite. The word hypocrite in the Greek, and this is going to be all the Greek you get today, the word hypocrite in the Greek comes from two words, and it means underjudge. Underjudge. That's weird. But what the whole meaning of the word is that we have this mask and we are doing judging under our cover. We're sort of two-faced. And so that's where the word comes from. And he goes on and he says, "Hypocrite, first take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." And then he goes into some really strange verses, but they go because they're here. "Don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them with their feet, turn and tear you to pieces." Whoa, whoa. That last part is pretty heavy there. It's like, okay, don't really know what that has to do with the eye thing, but I will take that under advisement and not do that. Our real problem is that we have been called to minister to love and to minister to hurting people. And as we've been called to love and to minister to hurting people, a lot of times, really most of the time, that means hurtful people. That means people that are not at their best, people that are going through times that their reaction to you helping or attempting to help is not going to be at their peak. When we go and try to help a hurting person, I don't know if you remember the last time you really, 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 really were hurting, but it affects your attitude. And so when we try to help hurting people, don't get it in our mind that that's really that person in normality. That's really the default of that person that's going to come out. What's going to come out is who they are plus a lot of pain, especially if it's not physical pain. If it's emotional pain or mental pain, and we help or we try to help a hurting, hurtful person, just watch out, because we have to be tough-skinned to be able to do that. Fact, we can't be like Christ and just opt out of loving people. We can't do it. We cannot call ourselves a Christ follower and just say, you know what? I'm really introverted and I'm just going to opt out of that whole loving people thing. But Jesus warns us here to be careful not to think that we're going to be able to reach everybody. We're not going to be able to affect everybody. We're not going to be able to help everybody, because everybody's not going to love us. As a matter of fact, some people's not even going to like us. And we've got to have that tough skin to be able to keep on loving and keep on ministering. The word here says judge, and you will find yourself in the same light of judgment. If you oppose or you, that's what's coming out of your spirit, you will find opposition coming your way. You criticize and your critics will begin to gather around. Whatever you dish out, Jesus is saying, you most probably will receive. So there's that elephant in the room. There's that obvious conclusion, the unspoken. How dumb is it for somebody with a big stick, big log, big limb, walking up to somebody that's scratching their eye trying to get something out, saying, hey, buddy, let me help you get that out of your eye? I mean, it really is something great that Jesus gave us. Speck versus massive log. Criticism versus rolling on the floor laughing at the audacity of somebody to come up to you with a log in their eye saying, I'll help you get your speck out. And one of those things. Listen, what they need is a break. They don't need somebody to judge them. They don't need anybody to point out, hey, dude, you know you got a log in your eye? They don't need somebody to say, you better let me help you get that log out of your eye. No, that's not the reaction that Speck Guy is supposed to have. Speck Guy is supposed to be like Christ, and Speck Guy better show some mercy here. Because Speck Guy has somebody that doesn't have enough sense to not come up to him or her wearing that big log. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? It is pitiful. We've got to understand how much deniability, how much living in la-la land that person must be if they're going to come up to you and say, look, with all honesty, with all sincerity, I don't see any insincerity in this story. Jesus is not saying, and it was a big joke that this guy walked up and did this. No, it's sincerity. So the next time that you've got somebody with obvious issues, somebody that has obvious things going on, and they're wanting to help you, take that as a plus. Take that as a positive. Take that as something that I'm glad that you've got so many things. Don't say this to them, but think to yourself, dude, you've got so many things going on and you still want to help me? So we should cut them a break. Give them some mercy. Fact, we can't follow Christ without confidence. Not self-confidence. Self-confidence is something that we're not looking at. We're looking at confidence in God, so that we all can focus mutually on inspiration. We can help each other without competition. We can help each other to know, look, you pray for me, I'll pray for you. Let's lift each other up. We've talked about it so many times, and it's something that really we should never stop talking about, the fact that God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows all of our problems. He knows everything about us, and he wants us to not compete for his attention, but to mutually rely on him, to have faith, to have confidence that every need that we ever come up on, he has the answer to. There's nothing that is represented here this morning that God can't handle. I'm not talking to everybody else. I'm talking to you. because you have it in your mind, you know what, I know God, I know he probably can handle this. No, he can handle this. Whatever you're going through, whatever situation you're going through, the Word tells us, even sometimes when we can't tell ourselves. Is there anything going on in your life right now that you can't tell yourself, you know what, God has this? I'm not saying it in a negative way, because probably half of us in here have something going on and we're thinking, God, have you got this? This has been going on for a little while. Do you have this, or do I need to, what do I need to do? That's where we get thrown off. We start talking to God and praying to God, and we want to get before him. We want to get ahead of him. We say, God, I know you've got this, but what do you need me to do? Most of the time, what I hear from God is nothing. Now, I'm not saying I don't hear from God. I'm saying God says nothing. Just cool yourself, because I thought we learned this lesson when you were in your 20s, when you tried to manipulate everything in your life just so you could say it was from God and then say God did something. No, why don't you wait for me to do it and then you just follow me? What are our intentions behind our actions? What's the reality behind our actions? How do we actually view life? How do we hope to accomplish what we hope to accomplish? What do we think God expects of us? I mean, seriously, when we lay down in bed at night, what is it that we think God expects of us? Well, it's very easy to think that God expects us to perform for him and to show him how strong we are, how good we are, how much we can do. But we always talk about it. That's not what God wants. God wants us to submit to him, surrender to him, and let him be the one that shines. Let him be the one that does what needs to be done. That he is the one that gets the glory. So his teaching is simple. When someone walks up to us with a log, we have to put ourselves in that person's shoes. That's the lesson for today. When somebody comes up to us and it looks funny, I mean, it looks like this shouldn't be happening. I mean, dude, don't take away from that person what they're trying to do. They're just trying to get out from under what they're under. They're just trying to somehow either deny that log's there, get somebody to get it out, or something. Lisa and I, when we were younger, had one of our kids in the emergency room of the A&E in the States, in South Carolina. And it was something, I even asked Lisa about it earlier this week, and she said it was probably one of the kids running a high temperature or something. But while we were in there, we saw this young man, primary school aged, come into the emergency room. And she said, I'll never forget it. I know exactly what it looks like, and I remember everything about it. Well, I mean, she would. But even I remember everything about it. The little guy was carried in by his dad, and just screaming and crying. And I know you've watched cowboy and Indian movies. How he was able to get the kid in was he had to break a stick, because the son had jumped down into a drainage ditch, and when he had jumped down into the drainage ditch, he was impaled in his leg by a limb. A limb from a tree. And to get that boy to the hospital, he had to break one side of the limb and the other side of the limb. So the boy came in with a limb sticking completely through his leg that was about this big. And it was like, ooh. I mean, when you saw it, it was like, ooh, ooh. But the kid was crying. And there was a dilemma. He wanted it out, but he didn't want anybody to take it out. I mean, you can understand that, right? I mean, I want it out. I want it out. I want it out. We're taking it out. No, no, no. And so it was this thing that he was in. I want this out, but I don't want anybody to take it out. Was he a spectacle to behold? Yes. Was he letting everybody know? Yes. Was what he did dumb? Yes. Did any of that make any difference? No. He was just there as a kid being brought to a place where they would soon put him to sleep, and he would wake up later on that evening with pain medicine so that he didn't see that stick anymore and he was not in pain anymore. That's what we're talking about. When we're dealing with somebody and they have this going on in their life, you can't imagine the situation that they're going through. I want this log out of my life. I do not want this in my life. As a matter of fact, it hurts. I'm in pain. I do not want this in here. But I'm not so crazy about somebody yanking it out because I may have had this for a while. And then we get into this thing of, you know what I'm talking about. We're not talking about a log anymore. We're talking about painful issues in our life. We're talking about situations that are here this morning. We're talking about the fact that some of us have a log in our leg right now. And we don't want it in our leg, but we don't want somebody to yank it out. And so we're in this situation. And I believe all God is telling us in this is if you are the one that is obviously seeing this and experiencing this, have some compassion. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 and 18 says this: do not repay anyone evil for evil. Try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this: not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, giving a blessing, since you were called for this, so that you can inherit a blessing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says this: do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says this: therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Listen, the human way people prove their worth is to compare ourselves to one another. From the minute we're born, somebody walks in and says, oh, look at there, she's the pretty one over here. He's the plain one over here, or vice versa. He's the smart one, she's the smart one. They're the weird ones over here, or worse. I mean, all kind of stuff come out of humans' mouths. I mean, worse than saying he's weird. A lot of people we see now on social media, it's because somebody that didn't have a clue said something so devastating to somebody they didn't know on social media that some of those people that we hear about actually take their own lives because they buy into the negativity that they hear from somebody they don't know. Now, the Bible does differentiate between judging and discernment. I'm not going to get all into that, but discernment is actually even a gift of the Spirit. And discerning is always Spirit-oriented. If we're discerning something, it's always the Spirit that's helping us do that, if it's discernment. If it's judgment, it's always self-absorbed. It's always self-centered. But even here, Jesus is calling us to discern with the weird verses that follow. Don't give what is holy to dogs. Don't broadcast your pearl before swine. In other words, evaluate your receptiveness. Don't waste energy. Don't feel like you're going to be able to reach everybody and touch everybody and affect everybody. Me and you, not anybody else, but you and I, very seldom ever look into any situation and really see it for what it is. That's why we have that saying of, you know what, you hear one story, you hear the other side, and it's somewhere in the middle is the truth. Because we seldom come across any situation that we really know all the details. God never looks at any situation without knowing every minute facet that has played into it or that will play into it. And so as we go to God for these things, if we have somebody that walks up to us and we don't have to embarrass them, we don't have to say anything really. We want to minister to them and they've got this stick or log or they've got this obvious thing that's hanging out of their life, then we need to understand that God is the one that knows about it. We don't. So even in our personal judging, trying to figure out, okay, how can I help this person? Well, obviously, blah, 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 blah. Most of the time when we say obviously to ourselves, don't go by it, because everything that's obvious is not really obvious. His message is clear. First, we have to evaluate our own lives. That's why every time we have communion, we talk about Jesus said, examine your own lives. Don't take the communion in an unworthy fashion. Don't unworthily take this. In other words, take every opportunity that we can to evaluate our own lives, because that's all we've got to do. That's all we've got to work with. That's all we have to help people. And then hold out grace and hold out mercy. And if we have any log bearers that come our way, let the first thing that comes to our mind not be, man, you are stupid. Let the first thing that comes to our mind be, man, I feel sorry for you. How in the world can I help? What can I do to throw out a lifeline to you? What can I do to help you? Lisa and I love flying. We've been flying since in our 20s, same as you. I mean, we're on an island, so everybody has to love flying, or at least you have to fly whether you love it or not. But I will never be able to be compatible, even though I know, I will never hear the instructions about putting on your oxygen mask without saying, there's something that's just wrong about that. It just sounds wrong. Because if you remember, they always say this. First of all, if you've got little children beside you, put on your own oxygen mask. It's like, you selfish thing, you. You got two kids beside you that are like babies? Put on your own oxygen mask first. Do you know why? Because you can't help anybody if you're not breathing. That's basically the reason, but even when we hear it, it sounds selfish. But what Jesus is telling us here is basically the same thing. Examine our own lives. Make sure that you've got your mask, not that mask. Make sure that you've got your oxygen mask on, that you're breathing, that you're alive, that you're able to help. And this example doesn't appear so ridiculous. If you really want to help somebody, first, take out anything that's in your life, so that whether it's another spec guy that comes your way, or if it's a guy with a log in his face that comes your way, we've already taken care of our health. We've examined our life. We've evaluated our lives. When we truly see what our Lord sees in us, we are reminded of mercy. Look, if we look for judgment, if that's what we're looking for, if we're looking for some good judgment, and let's just be honest, sometimes we are. Because we've been judged too much, we've been criticized too much, we've had too much opposition. It's like, I want to judge somebody. Let me go out and you drive stupid. You know, see, we just want to throw anything out there that we can judge somebody. And we look at this and we understand that's not what God tells us to do. That's not what Jesus told us to do. When we see ourselves in the light of the Lord, we see that all we can do is give out mercy. If we call for judgment, guess where we end up? It's only by grace that we're saved. It's only that God gave us mercy. It's not because we were so good. It's because He gave us grace. He gave us mercy. Jesus calls us to love one another to the highest of high. Love one another. Build each other up. It is the only way to maintain a strong church. Judgment has no place in the place of the church. Judgment has no place in the life of a Christian. And so here we are. How do we go forward from 2021? What is 2022 going to be? Well, 2022, the Lincoln Baptist Church, is going to be our breakout year. And so what are we doing between now and 2022? We're praying the Lord. We're coming with the Lord. We're standing before the Lord saying, Lord, whatever it is that we need to get ready, whatever it is that we need to rebuild, whatever it is that we need to reinforce, we need to strengthen, whatever it is that you're doing, if there's something that we need to get prepared, that's what we're doing in these months until 2022. And then 2022 is going to be that breakout year where we're just glad that you have come to be a part of our church, because we're not giving you a hype here. We're giving you what we know the Lord is saying, and that this goes back at least a decade. I know this building is more than 10 years. This building was put out in the middle of the pasture, in the middle of the country. And for all of you that were here, you know this. But if you're new, let me remind you again that God gave wisdom to get this land, to put this building, because in 2020 and 2021, this great happening was going to happen to the world. It really reshaped how things were. And this church is going to be instrumental in reaching the thousands that are coming close to us. It's one of those things to where it excites me just to think about our preparation right now. And so if you're here this morning and you have something in your life, and dare I say that you would be embarrassed really to tell anybody, you don't have to tell anybody. If you've got something hanging out of your life that you need to tell somebody about, you need a comrade to talk it through, talk. But the main thing is that we understand that it's there, whether it's a speck or whether it's a stick or whether it's a limb, whatever it is, that we understand that it's there. And for God to bring us to this place and say what he said with you guys before the service, and knowing that this is what we were going to look at, you're not here by accident. You're here because God wants you to consider. I know it's scary. I know it might sound hurtful, but you got to get that log out of your eye. You got to get that speck out of your eye. You got to get that stick out of your eye, whatever it is, splinter, whatever. And we're here for you. Nobody's going to laugh at you. Nobody's going to say, how long have you had that in there? Nobody's going to comment. Everybody's just going to give a great big hallelujah. And we won't even talk about your log. We're going to talk about your future. Amen. Father, we thank you so very much as we come to this part of our service. We thank you so very much for just being our God. Lord, we thank you for bringing us to a place where we can just honestly and openly just let you take care of our issues, because the people that are around us are people that either have issues or they had issues or they're going to have issues. And so, Lord, as we take encouragement, we also want to give encouragement. So, Lord, I pray now that you would, even as we sing this song, that you would humble people, that you would bring them to a place to where we might be able to minister to one another. Lord, it really doesn't matter who's doing the ministering and who's getting ministered to. Just bring us together and let us see some of these issues taken care of. We love you. We lift up your name. And right now, as we sing, we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.